All right, it's 11 o'clock, time for Master Life. We'll start the session with a prayer. Okay, let's come to the Lord. Father, I thank you for this discipleship class. Thank you for the brothers and sisters who commit themselves into this discipleship process. This morning we pray that you will be with us, teach us, that our hearts will be open towards your words, your teachings. And you bless our fellowships, that the fellowship of believers will be such a comfort and encouragement among us that will be motivated to do the will of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First, let me introduce this box to you. See this box. I show this to the Chinese congregation. If you're from the English congregation, this is the cornerstone box. Okay. We're going to put your cornerstone statement inside the box, and we will collect all the statements today and scan them during the week. The next Sunday, June 5th, in the afternoon, 3 o'clock, we'll go to our old church, the construction site. At the corners of the construction site, we'll, in a ceremony, we'll bury this box filled with your prayers, statements. Bury this box on the side. Okay, that's our cornerstone. About cornerstone statements. So if you intend to contribute to this ceremony, you have to be a Christian first and a member of this church, and you want to give a prayer, give a statement towards the future of our church. You are very welcome to write a statement. We'll collect them and put into the box. Okay. Okay. This is a long weekend. I'm very happy to see all of you still here. Let's proceed with today's lesson. First, let me go through some class schedule. We have no class on the church retreat date. It's June 19th. So you have 2 weeks that week to complete 1 week's assignment. So no class on June 19th. And here's a new announcement. There will be a workshop at the completion of each book. So we have 4 books and we'll have 4 workshops. The first workshop is called Growing Disciples Workshop. That will happen on June 26th. The next workshop is a testimony workshop. We learn how to give testimony, personal evangelism. And the third workshop is prayer workshop. We're going to spend extended time together in prayer. And the final workshop is a spiritual gifts workshop. That will happen on November 20th. And that day will be the last day of our Master Life discipleship process. So that's the last session, November 20th. I think even before I told you at the end of October will be our last session. So we add 4 workshop. It's my oversight. I should told you in the beginning. We have a workshop at the end of each book. So November 20th will be our new date for our last session. And I think we're still going to have a graduation. Okay. But not on that day. Okay. That day we'll have to do a workshop. And the following week is a Thanksgiving weekend. So we'll have our graduation on the first Sunday of December. And starting from book 2, Pastor Rob and I will take turns to teach the general session here. So July 3rd will be Pastor Rob's turn, and the next Sunday my turn, the next Sunday his turn, and then my turn. Okay. I go to the first book just myself, but the rest, the 3 books, the 2 of us will take turns. And in our general session today, I like to spend some time in sharing and discussion instead of go through the content of what you learned. Well, let's do some sharing. First, if anyone like to share so far this class, Master Life, is it helping you to be a better disciple of Christ? What do you think about the class? You've been, I think, more than a month already in Master Life. Is it helpful? Anyone like to share a few words? No. Yeah, Lucy.
Starting first day of the week, I started memorizing the verses each day. And then after finish memorizing the verses in the book, I start memorizing other words. So it helps me hungry for those words every day. So I said to the Lord, every day I want to know your word. Please give me a new verse each day. So the Lord supplies me with the word each day and helps me to know the word, and then when I read the Bible, and it gives me new light. So I started when I read the Bible, I said no more about the word and then pay more attention. So it helps me in every area of my life, my career, my personal, my family, you know. It just helps me empower because of the word. And then also during the class, I have sacrificed a lot of time to study the homework because I'm very busy. I have to take my CPA test. But when I sacrifice my time, I feel more committed to follow Jesus Christ. Because the price I know to pay. So I treasure the class and then I try to be his disciple. So that's what I've learned so far.
Thank you very much, Lucy. You know, Lucy is preparing to take her CPA exam. And this coming Tuesday will be her final exam. So she's a really very busy person, but still committed to the discipleship process. Thank you for your sharing. Yeah, Paul, great.
I think piggybacking on what Lucy said, I think from doing Master Life, it's kind of been impressed upon me to... it sounds like you're doing it, and this is what I want to do, is to memorize more scripture besides what they have in the Master Life. I think for me in my Christian walk of 20 plus years, that's the critical thing I need to do. I need to become a better disciple of God, is to really memorize scripture. And I think this is starting to lay that structure to at least memorize at least once a week. But I think if I want to see God work in me more, I need to bear his fruit, which I know is a promise. I need to more know the scripture even more. And then I think, you know, sometimes you feel like God may be speaking to you in small ways or big ways. And it's about you being sensitive to where he is working and then being ready to respond to his movements. I think this course is helping me do that more. Like, I was on the metro. I take the metro to work every day. And I realize sometimes I think I'm courageous or I think I'm brave, but I don't think I have any type of boundaries, but I do. And so I'll be on the metro, and I felt like God was telling me to go talk to this woman that I'm sitting next to, right? She kind of seemed a little crazy. But I was like, I think God wants me to talk to her, so I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, come on, Lord, okay. I kind of don't want to do it. And I realized, like, I literally just did not want to do it. My will was, I felt God was urging me, and I felt my will was not prepared to respond to him. And I think this course is just training me to be more responsive, and by the grace of God, I think you will bear more fruit, and we will all bear more fruit. And so I was just sitting there, and you know, I just try to, I'm only good at striking conversations, so I just try to work my way around it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you know, I heard her say like some random thing, like, oh, this guy's disgusting, because some other guy was smoking on the metro, and I was like, yeah, that's kind of gross. So do you take the metro daily? Where are you coming from? And it turns out she was visiting someone that was sick, and she was gay, and I was like, oh, do you pray for him? Do you believe in God? And she's like, yeah, I do believe in God, but I'm a backslider. And I was like, you know, well, we are all backsliders, you know, and it's just about you recommitting and just being there. She's like, yeah, you know, I totally agree. So I just think it's about, man, seizing the day for the Lord. And so I think this course is helping me.
Thank you, Paul. That's so good. So real. I just want to bless God. This is a wonderful testimony. It helps me. Yeah. Thank you very much. Now we've been into the program over a month already, and a crucial thing to do is to establish your quiet time. Okay, so I'd like to ask you now, how many times you had a quiet time during the week? Okay, the goal, huh? At least five. Thank you, Angela. So everyone, at least five. Okay. Where is it? Yeah. By now you should have a quiet time at least 5 out of 7. Okay, we have 7 days a week, and you have 5 days during a week at least. Right? So this is something we have to establish. Okay. Then regarding our quiet time, let's do a. On that subject a little bit. What are the ways you have learned to overcome problems with setting aside a quiet time? I know it's not so easy. We will encounter problems. Will someone like to share how do you overcome problems to have a quiet time? Jim, thank you.
Well, because I'm halfway laughing, and this has to do with Rob as well, so I would share that. But the people in my group know this. The first week that we were talking about having a quiet time, I had a regular quiet time after dinner, typically, and I just kind of thought I was always the person that couldn't do it in the morning. Like, the first thing when I wake up, because I get up so early as it is, I need to get to work, and I wake up, and I do talk to God. You know, hey, God, I mean, we just, like, have to do it. You know, talking in the morning, but that was really about it. Then I get ready for my day, and my mind is on work. I mean, it's, like, prepping my day. I mean, there's always so many things going on, and I was talking to Rob about it. And he challenged me, as husbands sometimes do, to have my quiet time when I first wake up, because my mind kind of shifted all over the place. And I was fighting it. I'm like, I don't want to do that. You know, it doesn't work for me. And he pulled out a scripture, and it was one of the Psalms, and I can't remember which one, but it talked about, you know, the trump card, right, scripture. He kind of went through, and it literally talked about the one who meditates day and night. I mean, it just went through it, and it convicted me. Coupled with the fact that he was my husband, so I could win a double whammy, submission and the scripture. But God was talking to me, so I said, okay, I'll do it. I don't know how I live without it. Because now what's happening is I'm setting time in the morning, and I'm finding I want to go longer than I have time for. So, you know, I think you sometimes, like in my case, I just had to decide to do it.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much. That helps, I think, all of us. And Pastor Rob, you're doing a very good job. anyone else like to share about? Yes, a good point.
In general, I have a quiet time after my things to overcome is the excuses. Every time that I finish lunch, I say, oh, the wonderful experiment I waste. The wonderful results I waste. I skip it and go directly to my work. Eventually, I kind of recognize this voice. And every time that I go to have quiet time, this voice appears. So I go, oh, it comes again. No, you deny it.
Thank you, Gopal. That's very good. Thank you. Okay, so all of us will establish our quiet time. By the end of book one, we should have it regularly, at least 5 out of 7. Next, this is related to what we learned last week, fellowship with believers. I think in our book mentioned a similar case. If someone who professes to be a Christian yet does not attend church, how come this kind of person is living outside God's will? So, oh, I'm a Christian, I just don't like to come to church. I can worship God in the nature, in somewhere else, wherever if I feel like to come to church, I will come. Otherwise, I don't have to come to church. I still can worship God, etc. Why this is wrong? Okay, Elijah, we'll elaborate a little bit.
Yes, then the person is just pretty much fighting for herself. So there's no fellowship. And the Bible tells us not to stop meeting. Yeah. It also tells us that we are one body, that each part of the body serve each other. Yeah. And by not coming to the church to join the fellowship, the person cannot actually be part of that body.
So God's will is for us to be part of the body and have fellowship with believers. We all agree with that. If you meet someone like this, what are you going to do? How are you going to help this person? What's that, Gopong?
So what?
Okay.
I'm trying to include it into the fellowship.
Pray for him,
for sure. Yes. And invite him to your fellowship. Yeah. Okay. We know this is not right, and we'll do what's necessary to help this person. Okay, this is a sharing time about fellowship. Will someone tell about a time when you find it especially meaningful to fellowship with Christians? Maybe in a time of need or some special situation, or anytime you find it's very meaningful, very helpful to have a Christian fellowship. Someone like to share one of your experiences? Pastor Rod?
When I first was becoming a believer, first heard about Jesus and started going to church, as I shared before, my life kind of had a dead end. I was very empty inside and just really dark. And when I started to come to church, at that point I just didn't want to be around people because I didn't really like them that much. But I realized that when I started to come to church, I started to worship, which I started to feel God's presence. And then when I spent time in prayer and reading His Word, I came into God's presence. And that was a healing thing for me. But it was encouraged to me to get involved with fellowship and go to a small group, which I really was gun-shy about. Because I had a fear of it, really, at that point in my life. But, as a matter of fact, it was Vanya who we just met. Actually, it was only 10 years, and we went to a play last Sunday after church, and I ran into her. She was a Messianic Jewish counselor, and she encouraged me to make a commitment to go to a small group. So I went, just didn't say anything. And then she said, why don't you go and share? So I went, and I found that when I started to go to the small group and get in fellowship, and I would participate, even if it was just one thing, I felt that I belonged to it. There was a sense of community that I realized that I needed over and above God. I mean, even now, thinking about it right now, even biblically, we have Adam in the Garden of Eden. He had a perfect relationship with God and everything else in the world. But yet it said it's not good for man to be alone. So we even need each other, even in that state. How much more in the fallen, broken state? So it was those people, and as a matter of fact, that's why I met Jane, my wife. And the people are still friends of ours to this day. Matter of fact, every small group that I've ever been involved with, I'm still friends with the people. Because you get each other's lives in community, and you feel like you're a part of something. And there's a part, that's what it means to be human, is to be in relationships. It was instrumental in me in my early walk with Jesus and staying sober as well. So I'm very grateful for this.
Thank you, Pastor Rod. Does each of you belong to a fellowship? Okay. Besides your Master Life, a small group, I hope all of you belong to a fellowship group. Okay. Yeah. And even pastors need a fellowship. So befriend your pastor, Pastor Rob, and me. We all need a Christian fellowship too. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
I just came back from Taiwan to visit my mom, and for the past 3 weeks, I had experienced the fellowship, that the warmth inside of my heart, because we have many, many reunions with my elementary till high school classmate. And also we have a special reunion in my home church. We have about 30 something people show up, and some people I haven't seen for over 25 years. Yeah, and we made it there, and it was very special to each one of us. And there was kind of, I don't know how to describe, but it was just unbelievable that you can see people that you know for that long since I was in high school. And people, some people even joke around and say, hey, luckily this time everybody showed up. Yeah, because there's no accident and nothing, thank God. Yeah, because we are all blessed, and then we are able to see everybody's family and children. And I think the fellowship meaning is very meaningful to me because we know everybody at church, and we haven't been seeing and contact each other for a long time, but this reunion means a lot because a lot of us, we don't even know where are they or what they are doing, but through this reunion and this fellowship, it's kind of bound us again, and then there's no time gap in between, even though we haven't seen each other for a long time. But when we saw each other, we recognized the person right away, and then we just screaming and hugging and just cheer, and we're so happy. When you see your old friends at church, you know, that your fellowship, your friendship is like forever. And I think this is very important for, you know, as a, you know, member in the fellowship. This is very meaningful, and I think it's through God we can do it, and it doesn't matter where we were. I think this is special power that through the fellowship we can, you know, especially we can grow spiritually. So I think this is really, really meaningful to every one of us. So that's my special experience.
Thank you, Ling. Thank you. And welcome back. Okay, we know at the center of a Christian fellowship is Christ Himself. So in the fellowship, we honor Him and draw our strength from Him. All right. I don't know if we'll have time for this, but in your book on page 78, there are two case studies. One's about Anita and one's about Charles. Maybe you can spend a little bit of time. If you turn your book to page 78, there's a case of Anita. She has trouble with her grown-up daughter, and she tried to make up with her daughter and prepare something, presents, etc., to try to have a better relationship with her daughter. And in this case, how could Anita's friends at church show love for her? How could her fellowship help in this case? Did you do this one? Okay, anyone like to share your answers? Chen, please.
I go with what came to faces when I answered this. I went with what I felt most comfortable with, most what I would feel like I would do. But I think step in and help her. You know, if there were tasks that she was trying to accomplish for this meeting with her daughter, you know, obviously to pray for it, but also tangibly help her with whatever that she needed help with.
That's very good. I think that's always good. You do something tangible in the practical way to help. The book explains a little bit. If a person has a this kind of relationship with a grown-up child, there may be something deeper that had to be resolved. But they will leave that to her and her daughter themselves and pray for them. But as friends, what we can do is like Jen suggests, we do some practical in some practical way to help her. And that's a very good way to show Christian fellowship, God's love. Yeah. Okay, and Charles, has two jobs. Not this Charles. Charles worked two jobs and provided income for his family, etc. And he doesn't have time for his family. And how could the Christian friends help? Yes, Amy.
I think the people from the fellowship could help to gain strength from God and just help him to be focused to God, faithful to God for his financial provision. So perhaps then he does not have to go to jobs and get to spend all the time.
Thank you, Amy. That's good. Yeah, have people to focus on God. That's what a Christian fellowship about. I'll do a little bit of review. Six spiritual disciplines. By now you know, spend time with the master, your quiet time. Okay. By the end of the book, you should establish your quiet time already, at least 5 out of 7. Live in the Word, like a scripture memorization and reading your Bible daily. Okay. Praying faith, you know, I don't know how many of you are using that prayer covenant list. Okay. That is to help to track your prayer, how many of them have been answered. Help you to know God is faithful. He listens to your prayers and he do answers. Fellowship with the believers, that's what we learned last week. We learned, have 5 days, 5 lessons. The mark of the disciple, the first day is love, loving one another. And the gift of accountability, like your small group, the accountability, it actually is a gift. We cannot do it just by ourselves. People in your small group helps you. Number three, help with withered Christians. He told told us a story about a pastor experiencing burnout and how other people help him. And what Christ expects. And finally, the model of a friendship. Okay, that's Christ himself. He likes to be our friends, not just we're not just his servant. The coming week, we'll learn witness to the world. And finally, minister to others. 6 spiritual disciplines. Okay. Memory verse. What did we memorize last week? Okay, can we recite this one? Okay, that all sounds good to me. I only memorize it in Chinese.约翰福音13章34到35节，准备。我赐给你们一条新命令，乃是叫你们彼此相爱。我怎样爱你们，你们也要怎样相爱。你们若有彼此相爱的心，众人因此就认出你们是我的门徒了。I think I got that one. And okay, you should memorize all the verses you have learned, okay? So you will do this in your small group time. Okay. John 15:7 and John 8:31-32, that's about the word. Okay. And then John 15:5. It's about Christ, right? The vine and the branches. And then our theme verse is Luke 9:23. We know this one. Okay. And you will draw the disciples' cross by the end of the book, all of it, and memorize all the scriptures and explain the meaning to other people. Okay. Maybe some of you are able to do it now already, okay. But surely in 2 weeks you have to learn all of it. Okay. I think I just go through this. I showed this to you already, and again, thanks to Alan Shu of the Chinese congregation, and help us to memorize this scripture, this disciples' cross. Okay, I'll just go through this. Okay, the dotted line means you are growing from the center as a Christian. You are growing because your relationship with Christ is growing. Okay. Next week's assignment, okay, you have to complete my walk with the Master this week, all of them. So go through it faithfully. Read your Bible according to your plan. And next week's topic is witness to the world. Memorize this verse, John 15:8. This is a short one. It's easy to memorize. Okay. Okay, you need to know this. By week 6, you need to complete all assignments in order to advance to book 2. Okay. If you are not able to complete all of the assignments, you need to do it by week 6 in order to advance to book 2. Okay, I'll keep this in mind. And now it's your small group time. As usual, first you pair with someone other than your spouse to check each other's and my walk with the Master this week. And quote your memory verses to each other and practice the disciples' cross. If you have time, you need to do some sharing. Okay, last week's one of the assignments is to befriend someone in the church who is not a close friend. You like to share your experience. Yeah. Okay, and the last week we introduced the master time. Okay. Did you benefit from using master time this week? If you do, share your experience or your problems with other people, or you have problem with time management, share it with your group, and pray for each other. This will be for your small group time. Okay, let's break into small groups now.